Blog Talk Radio.
Denise Griffiths is your partner in success. Tune in each Friday as virtual assistants, industry expert, web developer, and online entrepreneur Denise Griffiths interviews industry experts from one end of the internet to the other. These expert entrepreneurs freely share their business building knowledge and provide practical guidance that will show you how to build and grow your own very successful business, be it online or traditional brick and mortar. Now, ladies and gentlemen, your partner in success, Denise Griffiths.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to your partner in success. Today, I'm really excited to welcome Vicki Mullins to the show. Vicki is the founding partner, no, you're not the partner, you're the founder of Mullins Creative, which is a full-service graphic design firm, and she built it on a foundation of broad business experience in managerial roles that included operations, advertising, and retail. Her company, Mullins Creative, excels in print design with a specialty in multi-page documents, books, magazines, tabloids, directories, and company brand development and execution. I need to apologize. I'm a little raspy today, and I don't know why. It could be from yelling at myself.
So, you just sound sexy.
I sound like I'm about to choke. Anyway, thank you. So in 2006, Vicki and I, we're probably just going to blow this whole interview.
I think it's going to be fun.
And we just take off in all kinds of different directions. So this is either going to be really interesting or really annoying, depending on your perspective.
So we apologize now.
So let me introduce you. So in 2006, Vicki started a publishing company after authoring a series of 8 books, which we will be chatting about. I'm so impressed with that.
Oh.
So from the lessons she learned from the School of Hard Knocks, today she guides authors through the steps of becoming independent publishers. Very important, pay attention to that particular sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Where the publishers maintain control of their books and their financial destiny. Again, very important. Vicki is an expert on social market sales and says she doesn't care if she ever sells another single book. Instead, she would rather sell her books by the thousands. It's a lofty ambition and one that I'm all for. So today we are going to be covering the ins and outs of getting your book published, with the largest focus being on self-publishing. We welcome you to call to speak to Vicki at 347-843-4988. Or if you're currently listening to us on the internet, you can visit us in the chat room and ask questions from there. So good morning, Vicki, and welcome to the show.
Good morning again. So good to be here. Thank you very much.
Oh, thanks for being here. We're so excited about everything that we're talking about that we'll be talking across each other and going, wait, me. Hopefully we're not going to make a mess out of this today. But you have so much information. And look, as a virtual assistant and as a web developer, I am constantly being asked by the people I work with, my clients, my team members, people I mentor and coach, how do we get a book published? How do we self-publish? It's a morass out there. I mean, you know that. It can be a big, big expensive problem if you don't know what you're doing. So that's why I'm so excited to have you on the show today, so you can guide people through kind of the ins and the outs and the do's and the don'ts.
And there's a lot of it out there, Denise. It's really sad. As with any burgeoning industry, there are people that say, I see a way to make some money. I'll tell them what to do. And in they go, or they start a self-publishing company or consulting or whatever, and suddenly the author is the loser. There's always somebody that gets taken advantage of in that situation. And in this particular case, then it's the author. So I went through the School of Hard Knocks. I learned, fortunately, I didn't invest in a lot of stuff. It just took me longer to accomplish what I wanted to accomplish because I had a lot of research to do. I called a lot of people. I asked a lot of questions. And so I would like to be able to shorten that learning curve and give authors, some suggestions on how they might be able to be productive and get their book self-published by themselves without the issues and just make it a maybe better experience for them. No, mine was a great experience. I don't mean that. But, boy, I would have loved to have somebody I could call. And if I asked them, now they told me that I need to pay $125 for my barcode. Do I need to do that? I would have loved someone to tell me that. No, you don't have to have that necessarily. Don't pay for that right off the front. So there's lots of questions out there that I think we can answer for people.
Oh, yeah, we'll definitely cover, you know, some of the hard and fast little rules maybe that you should follow. But let's kind of go back to the basics. Well, first of all, I want you to tell people who you are and how you came to this. And then I'm going to ask you, why is it so important that people have, you know, people who are working online like we do, Why is it so important that they have a book of some description? So we'll get back to that. But first of all, kind of introduce yourself and tell people how you came to be Mullins Creative.
Well, I got a degree in journalism. I got hooked in the journalism world when I was just in high school. I loved layout. I loved grammar. I loved all that stuff that kind of came together in a journalism class. So I went to college, got my journalism degree, and then didn't get hired by a newspaper or any place, and took a sidestep from that, and went on into the retail world. And it's a, you know, it's kind of it's a boring story. It's just another story. But when I then got married, had children, and decided it was time for me to go back to making some money to contribute to our family finances, but I did not want to go back into the world of Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 kind of thing. I had two little children, you know, at that point in time. It was a kindergartner and a second grader, and I wanted to be there to comb my little girl's hair. I wanted to go on the field trips. I wanted to be there when they got sick, to go pick them up. I just wanted to be that mom that was there for them, and I couldn't do that if I was employed by somebody else. And so in the early 90s, they came out in the late 80s when Macintosh came out, and my husband said, go learn about a computer. Learn how to take everything that you have in your head and just work from home. You have enough contacts, you have people, and just go start doing what was then called desktop publishing. So I started doing that. Now, I didn't have a design degree, but I knew enough about page layout and all that, so I had studied all that. So I started doing more, I'm going to call it page layout, as opposed to logo design and those kinds of things that I think that people are born to do and are educated to do. So I did not go into that. So I started that business there, and then about 5 years ago, I took the business out of my home, and it grew and grew and grew, and I had people coming into my house working for me, and ended up opening an office space because I thought, I want to retire one of these days, and as long as it's in my home, there's no way I can do that. And that was before virtual came about.
Right.
So I did that and got a staff, and away we go. And so we do a lot of graphic design, but I'm smart enough to know what my weaknesses are and what my strengths are. So I hired staff that are fabulous, fabulous designers. I can do big picture kind of stuff. I know what's right, what can sell, what is best for our clients, and then they go through and execute that stuff for us. And that it just makes a great, great way to do business, and we love it. But my world changed 5 years ago when I had a 35-year-old friend of mine who was diagnosed with 6 brain tumors. But at that time, she had 4 little children that were under the age of 5. So I had made a promise to her that I would make a way that her children could remember her long after she was no longer a part of their daily lives, because we knew that the tumors were inoperable and they would take her life. So anyway, I came up with a book, and it's really a dumb book. It's a journal-type book. It's about 125 questions about quirky little things that make you who you are. It's nothing about memories, but it's the kinds of things that families can pass down from generation to generation, not things that are deep and heavy and tough, you know. But, you know, do you have an innie or an outie? Is your second toe longer than your first toe? Are you hairy? Are you a morning person, night person? Just dumb things that help families.
Those are fun facts.
They are fun facts.
Yeah, not dumb things.
But they're not. Oftentimes people say, oh, I was expecting, you know, more deeper or more memories. But no, these are the kinds of things that you go, oh, now I know why I am like I am. I've got grandpa's knuckles or, you know, whatever it is. So I started and I needed to publish that book. So I had to figure out how do I publish? Although I'd been buying printing for the last 15 years, I didn't know how to publish a book. What? Are you kidding me? So I had a lot to learn. And my story is different than many people that are online because my expertise was not what my books were about, so to speak. Yes, I guess you can say I'm an expert on being a friend. And yes, I'm an expert on family relationships and have developed that, but that's not why the book was written. And it ended up, we spun it off, so it's basically the same book, but spun it off into seven more, with the last one being called I Want You to Know Me, Love Your American Hero. And we're getting those in the hands of our soldiers before they're deployed, so that while they're gone, their families will have those things all about them to keep connected while they're gone. And then, of course, if they should come in harm's way, that book will remain a part of their legacy and be there with their family forever. But it doesn't have to be. You know, they don't have to be dying. You know, they don't have to. They can come home, and they can still have a hoot of a time reading them.
Right.
So that got me into the publishing world. Okay, your turn.
Yeah, what a great idea. I mean, I'm a huge supporter of our military.
Oh,
just a fabulous, fabulous idea. I'm getting a little bit teary-eyed. So, you keep on going. You're doing great.
Okay. Okay. Let me tell you a great story regarding those. I had a call last summer from a gal, and she said that her boyfriend had been deployed the week before, and she said we were all down at the airport and kissing and hugging and saying all of our goodbyes, all the families down there. And she said, and then the last thing he said to me was, when you go back to the house, go in and look on the front seat of my truck. She said, I drove home so fast. She said, I had no idea. Maybe there were going to be flowers there or something. And she said, I got there, and there was the book. He had filled it out for me while he was gone. And she said, I carry it with me to work. It's on my nightstand. She said, you don't know how I feel when that book is next to me. I feel like he's here too.
Yeah.
I thought, now, is that so cool? I thought that guy was just very, very special to do that for her.
One thing about picking up an item, and I think this is why people may start to hoard if they have a problem really connecting with other people, but... And that's another topic altogether. But we all know this. If you pick up an item, and we think in pictures, we think in images. Well, real people do. I think in HTML. Most people, excuse me, tend to think in pictures. Mm-hmm. But when you pick up an item, you almost have a visceral sense of where it came, how it came into your life, what it meant to you at the time. And I'm sure that's what she was trying to convey.
And if that item is filled with your loved one's handwriting, giving you insights into them, are you kidding me? It was awesome. I never thought of it that way. It's kind of been interesting. So
find that book? That one is on Amazon, yes?
Yeah, that one's on Amazon, or you can visit my website, and I sell it on my website. A portion of the proceeds from all the sales of these books go to a fund for children who have lost a parent to melanoma. So I always like people to buy them on my website because the kids make more money. And the website is www.iwantyoutoknowme.com.
I'm writing this in the type.
I want you to know me
today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want you to know me.
You can type though. You're good.
I can do that. I can't speak, but I can type. I mean, that's a fabulous story. And you know, for you to have a very strong need, and let's face it, most people who are publishing have a very strong and personal need to publish their book, whether it's to drive traffic to their website or their programs or their services, or if it's, you know, a very personal, intensely personal story like yours is. I mean, let's face it, we all have this strong need to get published.
We do. But so, you know what? Where it really, really comes into play for business owners, or experts, is that whole expert status.
Mm-hmm.
When you can take what's in your head and put it down, and I'm going to even say it can be, when we think of a book, someone might say, I can't ever write, you know, they think of these big, fat old books.
Yeah,
sometimes
like
books
a
can
weighty,
even be...
Yeah, I mean, something that, you know, you're going to put it on the coffee table and go, oh, geez.
No, it can even be
that.
Booklets. It can even be small booklets.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you about. We talked about that once before, and I'd like for you to explain, after you finish your original thought, but after, if I let you, the difference between a booklet and a book and why you can go either way and why you maybe should go both ways. But go ahead and finish your thought.
Absolutely, you can go both ways. A book is a book, and it's typically bigger, and it's perfect bound. So it's not staple stitched. It's not what's called saddle stitched. It's not stapled. A booklet is typically, you know, it can be 16 pages, 16 half pages that are stapled. It's just a smaller little booklet, and it has less information in it. But those are okay, especially if we talk later about selling them by the thousands. Booklets are a wonderful way to because they're, to get them out there, because they're very, very affordable for the groups that may be purchasing them from you. But a book is a book is a book. And when you have that and you are either speaking, or maybe you have it on your website for sale, or you just give it away. Some authors I know simply give their books away as a promotional product for their own services. It sets you up as an expert. You appear just so much smarter than what you may think you are. You couldn't write it and get the information out there if you weren't smart to begin with. So it's just confirming that expert status, and that's why it's so important to get yourself published. And it's not as hard and as bad as it sounds.
Well, you know who's, I don't know that he started this, I'm not going to give him credit for that, but somebody who is very well known for writing really well-written books and giving them away is Bob Proctor.
Yes, absolutely.
You go to one of his events and it's on your seat.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love to read his stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, the fact that it's free is even better.
Even better. Mm-hmm. And you may charge $20 for your book, but you may be able to purchase the book for $3 or $4 if you're not buying them by the hundreds of thousands. Then you can get them obviously down further than that. But you can still get it at a reasonable price. And then sometimes, like Bob Proctor can get the event where he's speaking at, they'll buy the books for everybody.
Right.
Because they are, and especially if you can customize them, you know, that's another day too.
That's another topic. Yeah,
you can get a sponsor to purchase them and get their customize their information on them, and then it's a giveaway for them, and it's better than a stress ball.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about the ins and the outs of self-publishing, because I get those questions all the time, and I know some of the answers, or I think I know some of the answers,
okay.
But I am by no means an expert, and you are, so that's why I want you to answer these questions, because you're going to teach me things today.
Oh, good, good.
I love to learn something new every day. So let's talk, I mean, there's the ins and the outs of publishing, self-publishing, going to Amazon. We're going to cover all of that. Where would you start? Let's just do a quick case study. Let's say I've got a book in me, and I've got several. I do.
Okay.
Let's just assume that I, as of today, have completed my book, and I'm going to now go, well, crap, what do I do? And that's going to be my next step. I'm going to tell you right now, that's my next step.
Okay. If you have the manuscript done, and it's just prep typed in a Word document in your computer, then the first thing you need to do is to get somebody to get that ready as a PDF, both the cover and the interior.
Now let's talk about that. Because
yes. Let's talk
very
about
important,
that.
So let's not just gloss over that. Let's talk about why it's important to have a professional do your cover and your interior.
Because if you indeed are using a book to support you as an expert, and you hand somebody a book that's done by a non-professional, you just canceled out the expert status.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I both know if we walked into some place, a table, and saw all the books sitting there, if somebody did it themselves or had their brother or their sister who knows a few things about working in CorelDRAW, and they decided they're going to put a book together, it's not going to be a professional book. And so if you do that, you might as well say, I'm not going to use it to grow my business. Now, let's say you are doing this just because it's memoirs of your grandma, and nobody else is going to want to read this. You don't care if anybody wants to read this. You're just doing it for the rest of your family. Then you don't have to worry so much about it being the professional look. But if you're really going to be aligning your expertise to that book, and you're going to be trying to sell it, you just can't have it look unprofessional. So you say, well, what makes a difference on the inside? Microsoft Word. A Word document is a Word document is a Word document. It's just text.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a couple days ago, I saw somebody's book who was being self-published, and she had her proof there. And I looked at it, and the margins at the bottom were an inch and a half tall, and there was a page number there. And then the outside margin was about a half an inch, a quarter of an inch, and then the inside gutter was a quarter of an inch, and then, again, it was an inch and a half at the top. I said, I don't understand this. Can you want to just help me with this a little bit? And she said, what's wrong with it? I said, well, look, on your inside gutter right there, I can't even read some of the words because they're so deep down into that, you know, into the gutter. You couldn't even see it. And I said, you've got these huge, huge spaces at the bottom of your book that it looks like something, it was the wrong size and someone just set it in there. You can use that space, you know, maybe make it an inch and then put a footer on it or something. But it looked so amateurish. And then the other thing she had done, which goes clear back to my old journalism days, and that is to make a break in a paragraph, you can do basically one of two things. You can indent the line. You know, it used to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 spaces
right.
in the good old days in typewriters. Or you did a double return. But you never do both because it just puts too much white space. It just adds all this stuff. You don't need it in there. She
not
said,
unless you're
oh.
making a headline.
Pardon me?
Not unless you're making a headline or you know, have a subtext or something there.
Right. Exactly. You just don't need to do that. So there's little things that most people may not even know, but they think, oh, I can type this up and I can put my page number up here. Or I'll put my page number down here in the middle. Well, that's fine too. But make sure it's consistent. Don't let it float different places. And this little book that I looked at was just a mess. And I said, what are you trying to do with this book? And she said, I want to get on Oprah.
Oh,
oh no! I don't think you're going to get on Oprah with this book. And the title was something
you
that...
You have to admire her guts, but...
I do admire her guts, but she just has a long ways to go.
Yeah.
But she had thought that it would be okay. Let's go back. She thought it would be okay if she just did it herself because she knows how to type. But it's really there. It's an industry. And there's specific things you can do and you can't do and you shouldn't do or it messes... You know, it just makes it look messy and dumb and, oh, the double spaces after periods. Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
You know,
Well, a lot of that is built into WordPress, too. And if you're not careful, WordPress, I'm sorry, Microsoft Word, and if you're not careful, you wind up with a document that was pre-formatted for you.
Exactly. You
and
don't want to do that.
Bad. That's very bad.
Yeah.
So I am all for using professionals, and I have the same kind of observation about websites.
Oh.
You know, you'll get to somebody to say, oh, I'm an expert in this and this and this and this, and you get to their website and you go, you're right.
Yeah.
I do because I'm mean that way. Other people might just say, well, I'm not quite seeing it. You know, they may be kinder than I am, but I'll get to these websites, and if they're telling me that they are absolutely a social media marketing expert, just as a for instance,
mm-hmm.
and I get to their website and it looks like their cousin put it together, I won't talk with them. I'm not
going to
take the
yeah.
time to do business.
Yeah.
And what I'm hearing from you is that a book has this, that same kind of instant impact.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so, but here's where it starts to get a little gray, because there are all of those self-publishing companies out there, and they do a great service, and they also do a great disservice. And they've set up their packages. I don't think you can compare any two self-publishing companies on the internet, compare them apples to apples, because they each have their own little twist on them so that you can't compare them, so they each can boast what they can do, and it makes it a little bit more confusing for the authors who are looking for someone to self-publish. But one of the big three, four, five things that authors really need to keep an eye out when they start shopping online to have somebody publish their book is to remember from the get-go that these independent publishers, self-publishers as they call themselves, are not publishers in the true sense. They are typically printers. Now, they'll tell you, oh, well, after we, if you buy X package, we will give you a custom cover. You can pick from the picture square in the middle, the picture in a circle, the picture covering the whole thing, a solid background. Your text can all be centered across the board. So they're very, very templated, which make it go back to that same, it doesn't look like it's a custom book.
Right.
So that becomes a real issue. But they'll do it for you, and it won't cost you. It'll cost you, you know, $150 for a custom cover. You're not getting a customer cover, and you don't have control over it.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll take your picture, and they'll plop it in. They don't take the time to design it. It's just a templated putting it together, and it's just not a good thing. And then they'll say, okay, you can just send us a PDF of your Microsoft Word document, and we'll shrink it up to fit into your book. Wait a minute. No, wait. No, that's not good. We end up sending a PDF to a printer anyway, but each page has to be set up to fit the exact size it's supposed to end up being. You can't just take a Word document and shrink it. And that happens a lot. And then what they'll do for them, the one thing that I would like to encourage authors is always own the ISBN number. You have to understand that your book is a business, and you do have to invest in it a little bit. If you don't, then you're most likely not going to make the money you want from it. You won't get the results, meet the goals that you want, and you're going to be disappointed in it. So right off the bat, understand that you need to buy your ISBN number. That's your identification number that makes your book totally unique. If a self-publishing company says to you, oh, those things cost $250 and you have to pay, or you get 10 of them, and we'll take care of that for you. Who owns your book? The publishing company, the printing company, they own your book. You don't want them to own your book, because oftentimes at the bottom of the contract there that says, you know, you said, oh, thank you, you're going to design it for me, you're going to lay it all out for me, you got my ISBN number, and for $1,000, you're also going to give me 10 books. Ooh, boy, oh boy. Oh, that's, I don't have more than $1,000, so that'll be perfect.
Right.
Well, then they start printing your books, and they use, you end up ordering 20 or whatever, and they'll say, we'll put you on our website, and anybody, you know, who wants to could order books from us, because that's how we'll market you. Well, I happen to know that my my target market does not go on publishing companies' sites to look at their books. That's not where my market shops. I need to be where my market shops for them to be able to sell my books for me. There's just so many things wrong with those programs. So I just like to tell people to be very, 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 very careful. Get it, your book designed, the cover designed by a professional that is maybe not necessarily as is not connected with the place that's going to print it. We do shepherd book shepherding, and when I do, I tell everybody to get their books done ahead of time. They buy the ISBN number, and then they send it to a company in Nashville, Tennessee called Lightning Source. And Lightning Source is
people. I'm sorry, let me interrupt just a quick. Where do people go to get their ISBN number?
Oh, Bowker, www.bowker.com.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you for bringing
and
that up.
That's where you get your ISBN. Okay.
That's where you get to buy your ISBN number. You can buy one, and I think one is like 85, and 10 is maybe 265 or something like that right now. You think, oh, I shouldn't spend that much more money. What am I going to do with 9 of those? Well, here's what you're going to do with 9. Well, you came out with your first book, and now you decide, you know what? I'd like to see this in Spanish. Well, it can't be the same ISBN number. It's got to be a different ISBN number. Or, oh, maybe I'm going to turn it into a workbook. And you want to be able to...
if it's an updated version of the
An updated
book.
Version.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The second edition, and you added 6 more chapters.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, in that area, I always recommend people to spend a little bit more money and just hold on to those ISBN numbers so you've got them. And maybe you did that book and you go, oh, I'm going to spin this off. I wrote this book all about moms and dads. No, I should do one for grandmas and grandpas. I need another ISBN number.
Chicken
you know?
Soup for the Soul. You remember that one? That started out as one book, and now, God bless.
More than 300 titles.
Exactly.
Isn't that amazing?
So I think what you're saying here is don't limit yourself.
That's what I said. That's exactly what I said.
Okay, now let's talk about Lightning Source. So
yes.
We have my book. I'm going to somebody for the cover.
Uh-huh.
That cover is going to be sent to me in what, PSD or a JPEG?
PDF.
PDF, okay.
Uh-huh. And
now,
what you do is you...
Will I be able to get, let's just assume that I'm going to your company for it. Will I be able to get those PSD files? And for people who are listening who don't know, those are the Photoshop image files, do those come to us or no?
Everybody who comes to me and hires me to do a job owns everything that I do for them.
That was my question. See, that's the perfect answer.
They bought
because
it.
And you don't want to say, well, I've got this PDF, but what a lot of people don't understand about PDF is it's not an image. I mean, you cannot just grab that image, you know, this gorgeous image that you had created for your book cover and now use it, you know, on the internet as, you know, maybe a placeholder or, you know, shrink it down and use it in a blog post. You can't. So you have to have those image files. Ask for that.
And not everybody understands what to do with those image files when they get them.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a lot of clients that will say, okay, will you just give me a JPEG of the front cover? You bet.
Right.
Because
when
we set up the file, you can imagine a cover consists of the front cover, the spine, and the back cover. So there's 3 sections to that. And if you were going to put that on your website, you probably don't want that one whole big piece of paper there.
No.
Got both, you know. So we give people the JPEG of just the front cover if that's what they need. And so your designer will give you that. Okay. You will ask them for that, and they will give you that.
Right, right. Now, let's skip yeah. off a little bit, because you had said, and we have a couple questions in the chat room. We'll get back to those.
Okay.
You had said the inside of the book. Explain to our audience what the inside of the book, and again, why that should be professionally produced for you.
Because it looks professional. There's things that professional typesetters know how to do that we're trained to do that not necessarily everybody who types in Microsoft Word knows how to do. When we do page breaks, we always start chapter. I'm going to say 99.9% of the time, we start chapters on the right facing page. Now, would you know to do that? Would you know that that's even a facing page by looking at your document? If it's not set up in spreads, you might not know that. We oftentimes will do a watermark or a graphic or something at the beginning at each, or just a special title treatment at the beginning of each chapter. So the chapter title or the chapter number, something creative with that. If you go through and type your whole book in either Times or Helvetica and then center your headline or chapter head, chapter number, and the name of it at, you know, on the top of the page, and just kind of continue that system all the way through, your book is going to be very dull and not professional, but dull, and it won't be as enjoyable for the reader to read than if you do something, how are you doing the spacing, the letting between the sentences? Mm-hmm. Are you giving extra space between the subheads and the paragraph that preceded it? Are you going to be justifying both sides, or are you going to be ragging the right and justifying the left? Mm-hmm. Those things all come into play. Excuse me, I think I need to take a drink. those things all come into play in putting your book together. Now, can somebody do that themselves? You bet. I continue to be amazed at the talent of people that come across my world. Excuse me. And some people can do it. But I'm going to say for the majority of the people out there, they should not be setting up the files. But when we were talking about Lightning Source just a second ago, mm-hmm. when you go on Lightning Source and become a client of theirs, you set up just an account with them, they tell you exactly, you know, the size of your book, how much gutter to make the inside gutters, how much bleed to make on the cover, how deep a spine you need to make depending on the size of your book, how many pages are in it. You know, they help you through all of those things. They guide you. They're a book printer, but they guide publishers, and that's why I talk about each of us being an independent publisher. Each one of us who has a company, we can use that as our publishing company and set up an account with Lightning Source.
And it's free to set up an account, right?
Yes, yes, absolutely.
So, excuse me. I don't think I have a cold. I think I'm just falling apart.
It happens when you hit 30.
I may have to go take a look at my vitamin shelf and maybe dig into those again. So really, really quickly, I know we've talked about the self-publishing.
Yeah.
There are different companies. Lulu is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand what you're talking about with the templating. It's a brilliant piece mm-hmm. of coding for them. And my husband is a software engineer, and I think and write in code. So I look at these things and just go, wow. I wish I'd thought of that first.
Sure.
But if you're really, really, really wanting to make an impact with your book, with Vicki, I don't think you ought to go that route. I'm with
you
Vicki
shouldn't.
On this one.
Now, here's the other thing, is that I wrote a book, and since some of the book goes to a fund, then I want to make as much money as I can with my books. So I set up a website that has a shopping cart on it. So my books come, and they're available on my website, and I do the fulfillment of those alone. But Lightning Source is owned by Ingram, which is one of the two largest distributors in the world. So when you sign up as a publisher under Lightning Source, Ingram then automatically becomes your distributor, and they will help you get on Amazon and in every and if Barnes & Noble or anybody else there out there in the world wants to buy your book, you now have access. They have access because your book is through Ingram to a distributor, okay? But now, let me go back a minute. If you go through a company like Lulu and somebody out there like Amazon wants okay, that's not a good example. If you go through someone like Lulu and they help distribute your books, when the books are printed by Lightning Source and they go back, I'm giving you a bad example. Let me give you a better example. You've purchased your book. Here's go. Here you've had Lulu print your book for you. You are now doing back of the room sales. And you're going to speak next week, and you need 75 books. So you call Lulu and say, Lulu, I need 75 books. Print me 75 and send them to me so I can sell them. Lulu will then call Lightning Source. Lightning Source prints their books, sends them to Lulu, and Lulu sends them to you. Okay? So the dollar or two, I'm going to say, let's say $3.50 that Lightning Source charges to print their book is now going to go through Lulu, and guess what's going to happen? They're going to mark it up.
Right, right.
And then they're going to send it back to you.
Can't you just go to Lightning Source and do that by yourself?
Absolutely, but not if you go through Lulu. They become your publisher.
Lulu. Gotcha.
Yeah.
So basically, if I'm understanding correctly, if you started this book with Lulu, you're kind of stuck?
It depends. Some of the publishing companies, when you go on board with them, they have a clause at the end on about who owns the ISBN number and how long let's say that they provide you with an ISBN number, then there's a contract that tells you how long they have ownership of your book, and then you have no choice but to order all your books through them.
Okay. So while Lulu can be a very great choice for a lot of people, don't go into it just going, oh, this is really good, and avoid the fine print. Read the fine print.
Yeah, because a few more steps by yourself, by finding someone who and there's a bazillion designers out there that can do great book design covers for you and insides for you, and then you manage the printing of it. Then if someone on Amazon or a bookstore or gift store or anybody else wants to buy your books, then they can go right through Ingram, and Ingram gets them from Lightning Source, has them purchased, and you get all the royalties, said royalties, instead of letting any of the self-publishers that are in the middle there get any of the royalties off of your book.
Yeah, to me that would be plenty of reason to do it myself. So let's talk quickly about Amazon and Barnes & Noble. I mean, I know a lot of people, I have a lot of clients who have books that are being sold now through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and I can't remember the other one. There's a big cut there. And I think what a lot of people reading these or going to Amazon to purchase them don't understand is that poor author doesn't get a whole heck of a lot of money off of these.
No, and it depends on the self-publishing company that's in the middle. And Lulu does a great job, and Lulu has many great clients and many people who are very, very happy with them. It's just a different model, and it just depends what you're trying to get done for yourself. I was in it for making the money. I felt I wrote the books. I want to make the money. You know, what can I not do myself? I've bought printing for 20 years. Why can't I buy printing of a book? Well, I can, and you can too. It's just doing it through Lightning Source. So here's an example. Let's say you have a book. It's a 125-page book, and it retails for $14.95. So then when you set up your account with Lightning Source, you mark on it what is the wholesale price, and that's usually 50 to 55% off, okay? So now we're down to $7.50. And the book probably will cost to have it one at a time because it's a print on demand. So maybe it costs you $3.75 to ship it to you. So the difference between $3.75 and $7.50 is what they send you. So there's no. Well, Amazon made their 50%, and you make the difference between the 50% and the cost to print the book. However, let's say you're doing back-of-the-room sales for your speaking, and you buy the books, have them sent to you. You've now paid – I'm just making these numbers up, so don't take them literally.
They're examples. I get it.
Yeah, $3.50 for your book. You just do back-of-the-room sales, and you sold your book for $14.95. That's not a bad deal,
mm-hmm.
But you have that control over them. If someone else is publishing them, and they are making that royalty difference in the middle, then your cut just goes down, down, down.
Right, right. Okay, so let's go through some steps really quickly so people don't lose sight of what we're talking about. It is. It's a lot to learn, and I have a horrible feeling we're not going to cover it all, but we're going to do our best to at least get the basics out there and let people either think about it or get in touch with you and get more information. By the way, where can they go to get more information about this? Because we're going through this really quickly.
Well, I'm glad to send them to they can email me, Vicki@MullinsCreative.com. And they can visit my website. We have a little bit of section on there on independent publishing. But if they send me an email, I'll be – and just tell me they want the free download, I will send them a short little publication on the steps to self-publishing.
Okay.
I'll be glad to do that for them.
That would be great because I think you're going to be inundated with emails too.
Help!
What to me? Okay, so what – well, we start with an idea. Obviously, you have a book. You think you have a book, and now you've got it to fruition. You've birthed this baby. You've got this thing ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to get your ISBN number. Is that first?
That's a good, yeah. So it's now all designed and it's all ready to go to Lightning Source?
No. We're going to go back to the very end. You put that last period on that last piece of paper, and you go, I start the publishing process.
Okay. In the creative process, while the designer is putting your cover together and while the designer is doing the inside, then you can go online, go to Bowker, and get your ISBN ordered and have that ready. Because you do need to have your ISBN number before you upload a book onto Lightning Source.
Right. And then you go to Lightning Source and you create that free or Lulu, wherever you want to go.
Yeah, wherever you want.
Or other self-publishing houses. And
mm-hmm,
if you can give people the names of a few, that would be great. Lulu.
Oh, no,
I can't think of any either.
There's one I think that's called Dog Ear that is very, very reputable. That's one. Mostly I know all the bad ones, and I'm just not going to go into
that. Yeah,
them
we're not going to talk about that.
No,
we're talking about the ones that we can recommend. So we've got the book. We've got the cover. The inside has been properly formatted by an expert if you choose to go that route. You have your ISBN number. You then upload it to Lightning Source or Lulu or whoever you go with. Okay. So
and if you do it with – pardon me?
Go ahead.
And if you do it with Lightning Source, they will send you your first book, and it's a proof. And there is a charge to upload your cover and a charge to upload your inside, and it goes into their system. Then it's there for here till Kingdom Come for you to download and order books off of whenever you so desire. But
so
they will then.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm trying to get ahead of you.
You are. They will send you a proof within about 3 days, and it will be exactly what your book will look like. It'll be your very, very first book. And so you can take a look at it, make sure everything is perfect. If it's perfect, then you just go online and click a couple buttons and order how many books you want, and just print them and send them to you.
Perfect. So now you have this book. I mean, you've birthed this baby. You are ready to go. It looks professional. You've approved it. You've got it sitting on your bookshelf facing you. So every time you walk past it, I'm an author. What do you do with the darn book? Yeah, I mean, it has to be publicized. You have to get it out there. Do you want to give – how do you get this book into people's hands is going to be the next question. What do you do?
I did mine a little bit differently. One is that I started speaking because I didn't know enough about the book industry, and I have since discovered that the bookstore industry is really not the best way to sell your books, because there are, you know, 30,000 books in a bookstore, and the competition is fierce. And I didn't see that my book, and probably most of our listeners' books, are not going to be number one top sellers in every Barnes & Noble or Walmart or Sam's Club or wherever they end up being. So you've got to figure out a way to sell more. So I started selling mine in back of the room sales. So I would speak, tell my stories, make people get touched by them, the desire to have them, and then I would finish up, go back in the room, and I sold my books. Mm-hmm. But even then, you know, it was somewhere between, I don't know, 40, 50, 60 books at a time, but, I mean, that's still you got to work it. So I'm thinking, okay, how else can I sell my book? And the whole key is for authors to put their head around this concept. And the concept is that your book is a business, period. The book is not just a book to put on a shelf in Barnes & Noble. It is a business. So how do you market any business? You find the target market and how to get your book in the hands of your target market. And I was blessed to have a local speaker here that I met at one event, and he had heard me speak, and he came up to me and said, "Vicki, how are you selling your books?" And I told him, and he said, "Wouldn't it be more fun and wouldn't it be better if you sold them by the thousands?" How do you do that? And that's when I became introduced to what's called special market sales. And that is finding the target market. I'm going to give a real fast example, and I know your listeners will identify immediately with this. Okay, my book is all about making family connections. So think of a book called I Want You to Know Me, Love Me. It's pink, and on the outside it says, "A gift to you, a runner walker." It's Susan B. Komen Race by the Dial Corporation. So what happens is Dial Corporation buys my book by the hundreds of thousands. They give them to Susan B. Komen. Susan B. Komen becomes the distributor, and every person that walks or runs in any of their races this year gets a book that's given to a woman to connect with her family. Okay? Now, that's not happened with Susan B. Komen, but that's one that everybody would understand. Exactly. So you find who's the target reader. My readers are women. So how do I get – where's there a bunch of women who wants to be in front of those same people? Well, Dial Corporation. Are you kidding me? Dial Corporation wants us women thinking of them. So I let them buy all the books. They give it to Susan B. Komen to do the distribution for me. So that's what special market sales is all about.
Well, see, that's a term that I was not aware of, so I knew I was going to learn something.
But if you can just start thinking about not your books in the onesies and twosies. That's where you have to make that change. It's too hard. You work too hard. You want to make more money. Now, when you do that, Dial did not pay $14.95 for your book. Dial did not pay $7.50 for your book. However, you were buying them, hopefully, in the hundreds of thousands, so maybe your book only cost 75 cents to have print. And if you charged Dial $1.75, you got $1, or maybe you got 50 cents for 100,000 books. That's $50,000. That's not a bad deal.
It's not. And then you have name recognition, or the beginnings of name recognition at any rate.
You do, and then your book is out there, and someone else sees it and goes, "Where'd you get that book? I want that book." Then they go on Amazon or your website and buy it full price.
Right. And see, that makes perfect sense, and it kind of goes back to the whole Bob Proctor model.
Yeah.
You know, basically give it away and just wait for people to come, and they do. And that leads me to my next question.
Oh.
They will only show up if your book has something of merit in it. Is it well written? Is it well presented? Is it fascinating? Does it absorb the reader?
Yeah.
If your content is not so great,
yeah,
you can have the best cover in the world. And I'm a voracious reader. I hate to shop, hate to shop. I can't express that enough. You show me a bookstore or a library book sale, and my card just goes, whoop, and I'm in. That's all it takes. My card goes to a bookstore. That's it. Won't go get gas, but it'll go to a bookstore. So there are people like me who are absolutely voracious readers, and I can't dispose of a book, even if it's a really garbagey book. I mean, I can't throw it away. I've never thrown a book away in my life.
You donate them to the...
on somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here,
yeah.
You want this?
Yeah.
But, and I've seen this, my point for going through all of that convoluted sentence structure is that I have seen some beautiful looking books that made me just go, ooh, let me read this. And a chapter later, I'm skipping to the back to see if I even want to finish it.
Yeah, yeah.
And oftentimes, if I've had to go fast forward like that, I don't want to finish it.
Sure. You'll know. And then the good thing is if you have your manuscript done, give it to a bunch of people to have them read it and see what they think about it.
And don't
give it to your...
Yeah.
Pardon me?
Don't be hypersensitive. Listen
yeah,
to what
yeah,
they
listen
have
to what...
Say.
Yeah. But have somebody else read it. Everybody thinks that they have these incredibly fascinating life stories that everybody should want to read about it,
right.
And that's not really the case. So you have to have good product that has value, that is of interest, and it's fun to read, and there's no typos and no grammar mistakes. Oh, number one job. Oh, get an editor. We passed right over that, and I am so sorry. And you really, really, really have to have an editor for both typos and grammar, but for clarity, you know, is so, so important. We typeset books every now and then, and we'll get in there and start discovering that there's mistakes, and I'd stop and send it back to the author and say, go back, get an editor on this one, because whoever did it for you did not serve you well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And don't use spell check. I type so fast that I'll spell my own name Dincy. And then let it go.
Dincy. Aww.
So you have to be careful. You know, spell check will not catch you even when you're spelling your own name wrong. So be careful with that.
Yeah, yeah. But it's even more than that. You know, it's misuse of words, even if they're spelled right. It's misuse, you know, putting the period outside the quote mark.
The quote,
you just go,
yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
You know, come on.
I saw
on.
An email the
you
other
know.
Day where somebody was trying to say peer-to-peer and they spelled it. P-I-E-R.
Oh, no!
Be like a peer-to-peer network. And I said, are you going from bulwark to bulwark? Or you want me to lash the boat to the what are you trying to tell me here? So,
you know, I was online the other...
It makes you laugh, but
it does.
Also makes you question, you know, what's going on.
Somebody was talking on the... had posted on the internet the other night. There is something that they give consulting. And it was supposed to be one-on-one. But it was 1-1-1 consulting.
It's hard to take that seriously. It really is.
That's right. There you go. It's hard to take it seriously when it's full of mistakes. So get an editor. Yeah.
And where
back.
Would they go to find an editor? That was my next question. How do you find a really good editor? I mean, do you just type in editor in Google, or do you?
I say you can always do that. My experience on all of those things that are related to service is ask. Put it out there on Twitter. Put it out there on Facebook. Ask your friends, do you know anybody who's an editor? And then interview them, see what they have done before, get references, and check, check, check.
Mm-hmm. Good. Excellent point. Because, you know, that's really how people do in this day of social media marketing and Facebook and Twitter. That's how more and more people are doing work, and you're asking for recommendations.
Sure.
And those recommendations come to you, and you can see what has been done for somebody else. You're a lot more willing to work with that person.
Yeah.
So
and,
let's open
and,
up the chat room and see if anybody has any questions. So do you have time?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Okay. Do we have time?
I reckon we do.
Oh, good. I like to reckon.
Me too. I know I'm going to catch some heck for that one. Okay, this is Denise and Vicki, and do you have any questions for Vicki Mullins?
Well, I reckon this is the journaling genius.
Oh, my God, I knew it. And she's going to say, you said y'all.
Y'all.
Vicki, this is my friend Judy Peebles, the journaling genius.
Oh, the journaling genius.
The journaling genius. And every time I say y'all on the radio, I get an email.
Oh, I love y'all.
I have to
y'all.
Give her a
So just don't email me. Just I'll consider that you yelled at me. And
okay.
We're done with it.
So y'all reckon?
Yeah.
Well, I actually did have a question on, you mentioned barcode, and it's like to barcode or not to barcode.
That was it, yeah.
You mentioned that
to barcode
on.
Or not to barcode.
Yeah.
If your book is going to be put out there for retail, you have to barcode.
Yeah, that's my thought.
There's no question about that. But now, I say that, but oftentimes when you buy your ISBN number, it'll say, would you like a barcode too? That's when you say, no, I don't want to spend another $75 on a barcode. When we utilize Lightning Source, they give you a barcode.
Oh.
So you don't have to buy it, number one. But let me go back a step too. When we're talking about the selling the books by the thousands and the special market sales, when you have those books, those are custom. So I don't even put a barcode on the back of those. They don't have to have it because they're not becoming retail. They're just becoming a custom product.
Got it.
So you're the journaling genius?
Yeah, I spell genius with a J for journaling.
Yeah. Oh, fun.
So I love the concept of your book. I think that's great. I actually didn't do a book. I actually did gems cards, which are, you know, journaling prompts, and then I do a blank journal. So it's kind of like the same concept, but in two separate products.
Sure. Oh, how awesome. Good for you. Neat.
Thank you. I wanted to know if you had a comment on Dan Poynter.
Do I have a comment about him?
Yeah, you know, he's got his website about self-publishing, and so I've certainly found some useful information there.
I'd say go there. He looks at things a little differently than we do. I have a company with a new partner, and our website is just being developed right now, so it's not even up there. But we look at things just a little bit differently than Dan Poynter, and there's Brian Judd. There's a lot of different people out there that have different ideas on special market sales. I'm not one that gives somebody my book for X number of dollars and expects them to sell it for me and then get huge dollars for it. And that's really a lot of what they do, and they do it well for people.
Okay. No, he has a lot of stuff about self-publishing and things that I found. Some of the stuff that you've been covering.
Oh, good.
That's why I found that useful. And then my other question was ebook versus book.
Oh, you're bad.
I did not put her up to that, Vicki. I did not.
I am not in the world of ebooks. I personally, it's probably an age thing, but I will never read a book at the computer or in a Kindle, or I need a book. I want a book in my hand.
You can't take a Kindle into the bath. You know, it could be dangerous.
Yeah.
If I drop one book careful. In the bath, it's not a big deal.
That's right. There you go. I think it's generational, and it'll probably come down to being a type of book. You know, the industry, the genre of the book will make a difference if it's a Kindle or it's a not. And it's probably all the novels. I have not seen the numbers yet for example, for business books, whether people are actually buying those on Kindle. I would rather get a business book and have it an audio book instead of an ebook, and I stick it in my car, and that's where I do my learning. I don't know. I sit and start reading, and I go to sleep, and so I can't even imagine a Kindle making it. But I should probably try one out. I don't know.
For the next generation, I think we're going to have to for the generations younger than myself. Certainly, I think they're doing so much more on the computer versus books. I'm actually even looking at doing an electronic version of my gems cards, particularly specifically for that purpose.
Because
they want everything on their on their computers.
Sure. So so they can read your gems cards on Kindle and then go. Write in the journal that they got with the notebook, the journal that you gave them. Or
right.
They bought
I'm looking at. I'm also looking at doing a full electronic version so they can actually type into the workbook.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yep.
They have the gem card and then a space to type into, so they never have to print it out or buy it as a hard piece of
sure.
something.
Sure.
Saves trees.
Sure. Interesting. Yeah, my because of my genre, which is legacy, mm-hmm. and it's that family connection as opposed to a personal journal that I have some in my drawers that I should probably burn. Because I don't want anybody to see them. My books are meant to be shared, and my
right.
books are meant to have grandma's handwriting and my handwriting, my husband's handwriting in them.
Right.
So I'm not sure how and where that's going to work in that particular, in my particular world, but that
mm-hmm.
certainly doesn't mean that it's not happening out there for a lot of people.
Oh, and don't get me wrong, I'm definitely a pen and ink girl. I mean, I've actually literally hand-penned over 20,000 pages in the last 10 years. So, I, you know, you can call it a passion or an obsession. I'm not a computer journaler, but I know some people prefer that. I get
mm-hmm.
to ask that question all the time.
I do. Yeah.
So I was just curious.
Yeah.
You know, particularly if you had like a grandchild, a great-grandchild today, they may prefer to actually, you know, do their writing in on a computer versus, you know, handwriting.
Yeah. And the other thing about it is I go look in my office, and 10 years ago, I mean, no, that's been 15 minutes. Remember floppies?
Oh, gosh.
You know, and I go. We had floppies, and I had SideQuest back stuff to back stuff up with. I had, these other little, they had like, I forgot the name of them. But they're gone now. But if any of the information that's on any of those is now obsolete because I can't access it.
Yeah.
And your books, your journals, you will always be able to access.
That's true. Although, like you, some of them probably should be burned. But which one?
Which one? The ones
that's
that tell.
Shred.
Yeah, the ones that have names in them.
Oh, God. Well, you can redact. I mean, you can keep them and just redact. But okay, ladies. Well, we've had a lot of fun here, and I need to get on another call. So thank you both so much, Judy. Do you have any more questions?
No, I think I'd love to chat more.
Do you have a website?
I do. It's The Journaling Genius, and genius is spelled with a J. .com. And I'm also on Facebook.
Okay.
And Twitter.
Cool.
And Twitter. And yeah.
Right. Right.
And where are you physically?
In California.
Oh, are you north or south?
North.
Okay.
And you?
Arizona.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Isn't that fun? Cross people connect all across.
Crazy rain.
We get to meet people from everywhere.
Yeah,
I've
actually never physically met Denise.
She's
my web designer and my virtual assistant, but I've never actually physically met her. We met on Facebook.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Great. That's how it makes it so easy. We can all connect.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Well, let me tell you something about social media marketing. And, you know, books and e-books and all of that does work into social media marketing. That's how you get your message out. But I get to meet the greatest people that I would never physically have an opportunity to meet in my geographical area.
I bet,
it's just such an important part of how we all operate these days. So, and, you know, getting your word out about your books, same thing. You go on Facebook and Twitter and your blogs, and you can get word, you know, tell people you're an author and talk about your books and give free excerpts and free chapters. I mean, it's amazing what you can do with these things. You know, there are,
and you're the one that teach all of us how to do it.
Yeah. Well, listen, ladies, thank you so much. And for everybody who is in the chat room and all the other listeners who were on the switchboard, thank you so much for being here. And Vicki, thank you. You have given us some great, great information. And again, if anybody wants to connect with you, it's give them your email address if you don't mind.
Vicki, V-I-C-K-I-E, at MullinsCreative.com, and that's spelled M-U-L-L-I-N-S Creative.com.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, and the show will be available for download in about an hour, sometimes a little less. And this is Denise Griffiths and Vicki Mullins wishing you a wonderful weekend, and I will see you next week. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you. It's been fun. Bye-bye.
Yes, bye-bye.